Okay, good morning, everybody. We're continuing with the shmooze from Rabbi Meir Silberberg on Shovavim. You were given a booklet yesterday, and we're on page Ches in the old booklet. I gave you a new booklet. It's a new booklet that when we finish page Tes, we'll look onto the new booklet, and therefore we'll have enough. So again, there should be lying around. I don't know. People are cleaning up. Surprisingly, in the wrong rooms, we clean up. In the wrong room, the paper. Yes. Anyway, so we're on page Ches. In the, we don't, they must be around. They're on the table somewhere. It's like, okay, anyway, if not, you'll just listen. And then the new booklet will start on when we get to page Yud. So we'll be fine. So we're continuing on this idea of what these special 6 weeks are about. So we're on page Ches, the lower right-hand corner. That's where we left off. Kamosha Magid Omer LaBeis Yosef. Like the Magid told the Beis Yosef, we know that Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch of the Beis Yosef, he was regularly every night visited by a Malach who taught him Torah. And he wrote a sefer based on that called Magid Meisharm. And so the Malach was called the Magid, the teller. So there's a story that goes on with the Magid and the Beis Yosef. Now he says right away, "Ve'ein lanu shemetz hasagav hazeh." We have no real idea of what this really means. It's way beyond what we can fathom. But anyway, mikol makom sunal, mikol davar sheish lanu lilmod. This is what to learn from that. HaBeis Yosef asa eze inyan. The Beis Yosef did something. Shelafi dargaso lahoyu royally skabel. That according to his level, I mean his outstanding level of tzidkus, of righteousness, he did something that wasn't proper on his level, okay, and he shouldn't have been dealt mercifully. And he doesn't say what story it is, you know, but I know there was one story. I don't know if this is the story. It could be totally not the story, but we'll give you an idea of what it would be like. You know, one day the Malach stopped coming to him. So he wanted to know why. So he got an answer that one day when he was learning something, so he just turned to the end to see how far he had to go till he would finish. You know, he's like if I was looking here, I'd say, okay, I got another 15 pages to go. Right? So that's it. You know, that's a terrible sin and I'm not going to you anymore. You know, so till he had to do tshuva on that. So you get an idea. You know, we're learning the Rambam, okay, another 20 pages to go, we're gonna finish the Sefer, you know, Baruch Hashem. For him, that's a sin to even look to finish. Like, I don't know if that's the story, could be, but I'm saying it's something of that ilk. You know, that, for him, that would be a very terrible sin, okay? For us, Halavai, we could be looking to the end of a book. But anyway, and really, it wasn't worthy for him to even his tshuva to be accepted. But the angel told him, but since he did his tshuva during the Shovavim time, during the 6 weeks, Niskabel, he was accepted. His tshuva was accepted. And this follows up by saying that you can accomplish certain things during Shovavim that in certain ways that you can't even accomplish during the 10 days of repentance. Right? Whatever that angel told the Beis Yosef, it's literally Torah from heaven. So Kol Shekein v'Kol Shekein, next column, B'dor Shlomo, certainly in our generations, Hayomim Ha'elu, Heim Kol Kuli Me'ava, these days, these 6 weeks, as we said yesterday, of Shovavim, are days completely laden with love. Kol Kula Orish Mashiach, its entire entity is the light of Mashiach. V'yomim Ha'elu, K'var Meir Lanu Ha'orish Shal, Ki Meitzeischa Meir, Etz Mitzrayim, or anything flows. Already in our days is illuminating the light, as the prophet says. The prophet says, just as you went out of Mitzrayim, so I will show you wondrous things when the Mashiach comes, even greater. So already living in those days where the light of Hashem is coming into the world. And these days arouses the light, the returning light of tshuva. That will flow down to the world in the days of the coming of the Mashiach. Ha'or shall a light that is indicative of umalah haaretz deya es Hashem, the world is filled with knowledge of Hashem. Kamayim liyam mechasim, like water of the ocean that covers up things. That's how much the intellect will cover things up. V'yamayel on these days of inish b'shamayim machnas the sun will makum gavah mod. On these days Hashem brings us to a very high place. Sheshum mekatrig and a yochel lichnos Hashem, that no prosecution can enter. Zeor ha-tshuva. This is the light of the tshuva. People do amazing tshuva during these times. There can be no prosecution against them. Ukumosha isim Reb Tzadik, and as we find from the great Tzadik Reb Tzadik HaKohen, Shemeah Shovim Yesh Ben Bechina Shel Membeis Yomim, that again we mentioned already, that what happens is the first piece gives you a general overview of everything, and now he details them all out. So the days of Sovim are the aspect of 42 days, 6 weeks times 7 days. Bein Shvi Shel Pesach at Shavuos. It's similar to the 42 days that are from the end of Pesach until Shavuos. Just like on those days. Till Kriyas Yamsuf, we really were so far away. Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, we already reached a level of Geula that now we were able to start accomplishing things on our own. So there were 6 weeks from the end of Pesach till Shavuos. K'moshe b'yom ha'heim, Klal Yisrael nisavchu mimatzav shel halolo v'alolo ad ha'matzav shel panim b'panim. We know that in that 6 week period, the Jews transformed themselves from a level of, as the angel said, they said it mamish at the splitting of the sea. They said, why should we split the sea? They're idol worshippers, they're idol worshippers. So even after the first week going out of Egypt, we still weren't so ay ay ay. And the angel said, we're mamish, hello, hello, we're like them. There was still so much Egyptianness inside of us. But it transformed by the Sinai to be panim upon him, face to face, Hashem spoke to us. Ad legilui ha'et ha'atzum shalava, that awesome revelation of love, shal matal Torah, of the giving of the Torah. And he's just quoting different verses of the prophets now. Shal aviani besayayin, that you're bringing me to the house of wine. Shal diglu alayava, that Hashem is jumping over with me with jumpings of love. In other words, fast-tracking this relationship. Nivka yonav tachtonim, the upper and lower worlds burst forth to meet each other. We saw that God was the only entity, the only reality. Nivku kala mechitzos, all the barriers were broken through. V'nizgala gili ava otzom, and an awesome love was revealed to the Jewish people. So that which happened 3,330 years ago, ha'or hazeh meir b'mei ha'shovim, that light illuminates during these 6 weeks. Kol Shana every year, Membeis Yamim, 42 days. Shem Keneged, Membeis Arimiklat, that also correspond to the 42 cities of refuge. Right? The cities of refuge were, if a person killed accidentally, he had a place to hide and not get killed. And obviously, there's one of the allusions to Elul is in the discussion of the Pesukim Hashem Ina Liyado, as the acronym Elul. So just like Elul is a city of refuge, these 6 weeks is like a refuge, mamish, to save us from the biggest one wants to kill us the most, is the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah wants to literally kill us. So you need a city of refuge. So there's 42 days, like the 42 cities of refuge that Moshe, that was set aside for Jewish people. Also, 42 is a big letter too, right? Keneged membeis teva shel ana b'koyach. It corresponds to the 42 letter words of the prayer ana b'koyach, which is what prayer? Which we say on Friday night. After Mizmor LeDavid, after we've totally accepted the Shabbos. I mean, ana b'koyach is an unbelievable mystical prayer that we have very little idea of what it really, really is all about. But even on the simple letter level, as we'll say shortly, but that's 42 letters there. Ukeneged. Now you see another one. Membeis Tevis Shel Parshas V'Ahavta. The first paragraph of the Shema of the Ahavta is Hashem Elokecha, should love Hashem. That also has 42 letters. So 42 words. So Kol Yom, every day, Meir Or Chodosh Miteva Achas Miparshas V'Ahavta. Every day, one word illuminates for that day this idea of the love that we should have for Hashem. Shinemra b'loshen yochid. That first chapter of the Shema is said in the singular term. Ve'ahavta, and you shall love as Hashem Elokecha. It's a very personal paragraph as opposed to the second paragraph that is said in the plural. Vayom shema tishmu. If you will, as a group, listen to the mitzvahs. So you see that it's a very personal section over there. So b'parsha zu meir or hava. From that parsha alone comes forth a tremendous amount of love. Shehavinu shebashamayim medabrim kol yehudi v'yehudi v'yechidus. That our Father in Heaven speaks to each and every Jew individually. When we're reading that every day, twice a day, we should have this mamish visualize Hashem is sitting us down. Hashem sits you down and puts his arm around your shoulder and says, Vahav, you should love me. And you should do this, and you should do this. And you should only, I'm talking to you. Just me and you. That's it. Nobody else. And he's saying, that's what he's saying. Avinu Shabbai Mevakesh Mihudi. Hashem asks from each and every Jew, Ahovo si, Kemo Shani Ohevoscha. Love me just the way I love you. The same way I love you, I want you to love me. On these days, the light of the concept of you are my children, my firstborn Israel, shall bra kara davua, the concept of a child is like a knee of the parent, meaning an extension of the parent. We are mamish, an extension. We have everything. Just like you have the DNA of your parents, you have the DNA of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is there, and it comes to our understanding. Kivyachol, as it were, next page, test. Moach ha-bein kemot min moach ha-av. It's the brain of the child comes from the brain of the father. Kemot she'isim v'alatani v'al tzadikim, as the balatani and other tzadikim tell us. V'zeh b'chol shan. That's a whole year long you're able to sense this. U'b'yosu b'frat b'imei ha-shovim, and all the more so and in greater ability during the days of Shovavim. Shem kol kulam b'chinas v'avta. They're all one aspect of, and you shall love Hashem. Kol yom meir b'chol ha-chov dalek shos b'yom or ha'ava shel Hashem Yisrael Eino. Every day, every hour of the 24 hours in a day, the love to, for the illumination of that love that Hashem has for us comes to us. Yehudi mukaf umesubav lagamri bor ha'ava zeh. A Jew is totally surrounded and engulfed in this love. V'zeh mogein v'shemer love kamo bar miklat. And that's a protection and a shield, just like an ir ha'miklat is. It's there. It's mamish sitting around you, this chunk of love that you can access, but obviously, like everything, you have to do something to access it. It's just like a rich man is giving you money. You still have to open your hand. If you open your hand, million of rich guys want to give you money. Want to give you, you're going like this the whole time. You're not going to get anything. You got to open your hand. Hashem wants to shower you with love. So you have to do something to open up. Like the Apterav says, you have to enter into the world of Ve'ahavta, that paragraph of the Shema. Or the words, or these words that I command you should be on your heart. You have to etch into your heart the love that Hashem has. What's the end of that paragraph of the Shema? And write it on the mezuzos, the doorposts of your house and your gates. Meaning to say that kol beis Yehudi mole be'avo v'kiras Hashem, every Jewish home should be filled with love and closeness to Hashem. And as well it says, v'dibarta bum, you shall speak in them. Simple meaning is you should speak in the words of the Torah. It's not even the simple meaning, but it is the simple meaning. It's a simple and a deep meaning. But bum, what's the gematria of bum, beis, and mem? Beis is 2 and mem is 40. 42. Romeis lamem beis yemei shovim. It's hinting to the 42 days of shovim. And it also says vidibarta bum. Vidibarta on the simple meaning means speak. But you think about it, what do you do when you speak? You give direction. You give orders. So Lashon Hanhaga, the word v'dibarta could also mean conduct. As another pasuk says, Yad beramim tachtein, we conduct, we rule over the nations below us. Meaning to say that you should be ruling, boom, through this. Kol Hanhaga, all your conduct, Yom Eilin, these days, Sarach Lios, Hanhaga shall ava. Should be a conduct of love. It should be, just as we mentioned, the tzaddik, what's about Reb Zvi Meir is every time you hear him speak, it's like, this day is the greatest day in the world. Last Shabbos is the greatest Shabbos, and then this Shabbos is the greatest Shabbos. And, he really feels it, So, just like we've had a shmooze like this before Yom Kippur. We talked about how love is in the air. Well, the love is in the air in the winter time too. It's another time where love is in the air. Same idea that we can access this love from HaKadosh Baruch. V'chein meir ha'ir shal ona b'koyach gedulas yimincha tatzir tzerura. And the illumination of this concept of ana b'koyach, those very first words that we say after Kabbalah Shabbos. What does it mean? Ana b'koyach, we beg you. B'koyach, with the strength of gedulas yimincha, the strength of your right hand's greatness. Tatzir tzerura, untie the bundled sins that we have. As we come with all these sins, and on Shabbos, that's what every Friday night is all about. Tremendous amount of strength in the right hand, which he'll explain. What is that? Al yidei or ava, through the light of love. Al yidei bechinas gedulas yeminchas, the aspect of the greatness of your right. And what do you know about the right hand, Kabbalistically? The right hand is chesed. The right hand is kindness. Bechinas chesed v'ava, the aspect of kindness and love. Tatir tzerura, untie the bundles of sins. Tatir es kol chelka and eshamish ha'ochu b'shevi, adei kol ha'inyonim shel hepech metara. Untie all the parts of our soul that have fallen into captivity through all the concepts that we have done of the opposite of purity. It's a very important idea. When we do averos, and especially averos that have to do in terms of concepts of purity, and when we do, God forbid, the opposite of purity, what happens is our neshama goes into captivity. Our neshama goes into captivity. What does it mean it gets into captivity? Just like with any other avera, but especially this avera, the neshama is a powerhouse of strength, a powerhouse of capability. The neshama is able to express the godliness of God inside you. The neshama is able to express the sfiros that Hashem manifests in this world. The neshama can manifest those godly sfiros. Now the problem is, if you get into, you mess yourself up into these aspects of the opposite of purity, well, you need energy to make that happen. And unfortunately, the soul gets harnessed to work for the wrong side. And the power that the neshama has to literally break through and transcend all physical shackles to accomplish, which is meant to accomplish great things, it unfortunately gets misdirected into the wrong way. And that's what it's called, that your neshama is in captivity now. Your neshama wants to do one thing, to think of Torah, to think of good things, to think of chesed, to think of Torah, that's such hard Torah. The Yadavin Hashem, and Hashem gives ideas of Torah. You want to be able to learn Gemara. You want to be able to finish Shas. You mamish need a gift from Hashem via the neshama to be able to have the mind to be able to learn Torah properly, to do chesed in an unlimited way, beyond normal. And that is, the neshama is eminently capable of that. And that's what it's there for. So what happens? We send it to the wrong place. We look at the wrong things. We touch the wrong things. We talk about the wrong things. Well, when you talk about the wrong things, you're taking that neshama with you the whole time. And the neshama is now taken captive into these places where it shouldn't be. And it works. As great as it could in the positive, it works in the negative. And that's how it's so hard. Because it's like almost lahavdol, you know, LaMarshall years ago, remember the Patty Hearst, scandal, right? The whole thing, they thought she was kept, it was from Manson, I think, kept, or some another chevre like that. Good. Okay, anyway, see how much pekias we have? See, mamish, if I asked somebody to say Rashi and Parsha Shmos, who would know it? Right? but this one, right, Simbinez, yeah, liberate, whatever.
Patty Hearst, they know.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, but what happened? But the end of it was, she was really part of them.
No,
not in the beginning. She turned into them. That's the idea. You could get captured. You could be captured, and you become like your captor. Or same thing with these cults. You know, you hopped in, and now all those strengths get used for the wrong things. You imagine your neshama is a Patty Hearst. You know, came from such a, well, at least our neshama came from such a good place. And now it's totally working for the other side. And it's like you're tied up, you're brainwashed, you can't think any other way. So what do we say from Hashem? We say, Ana b'koyach, Hashem, we beg you with your strength of gedulas yeminch, with the power of your right hand, tatzir tzerura, untie our bundle sins, the fact that we are all in captivity. Especially with the averus for the opposite of tahara, where people are, you're so stuck to it, you feel you can't get out of it. You're mamish tied to it. You have to spend hours, and it becomes addiction. It's like an addiction. It's an addiction, and an addiction isn't different than being tied up in captivity. Someone's got you captive. The HR has got you mamish captivated. So what do you got to do? So Hashem, only thing can get you out, break those binds, is the love of Hashem. The love of Hashem can break those bonds. Or ha'ava shemeir, by the underlines. Or ha'ava shemeir b'shovim ho'ayedei b'koyach gedulas yemincha tatzitzerura. That light comes from the strength of his right hand that unties the bind. Or as other psukim say, the bechinas pitach de lamoser, he's saying, halal, you open up the one, those that are bound up. Umamela, therefore, kol mashu shihudi mishtarli yoshayach levodisava, any little bit that a Jew makes an effort, a sincere effort, to somehow connect himself to this service of Hashem with love, humaores olam hatshuva, it opens up, it arouses the world of tshuva. That will clean him out and purify him totally. Once you make the first step, then Hashem will come down. Umeichin also lahabam will prepare for the future. Shuchalishmar asal betara kol hashanavli shirvasov, that he can watch himself in holiness the whole year long to an unbelievable level. V'kamash yosu miskarev Mashiach, and as we said, as we get closer to the days of the Mashiach, nichol b'yam elu, including these days, kol yimei shovim shkodim l'mad yom, all the years of shovim until now, get thrown into this. It gets stronger. Shovim gets stronger every year. Because shana v'shanu b'vchinas mosivoch, every year is like we say by Hanukkah, you add a candle every day. Mosivoch, you increase and go. Al shana shavah, we're increasing to the last year. It's not like, okay, I did it last year. This is a repeat. In Yiddish, there's no idea of repeats. You know, summer reruns. We did shovim last year. We ate matzah last year. I've done it already. That's a big challenge for Baal Tshuva. After you've gone through the cycle a couple of years, you know, the newness of Pesach and Sukkot and Shavuos, it's a pain. But the truth is, it's only getting stronger. Every year gets stronger, the power of love of Shovim. We see places that normally didn't conduct themselves so much with Shovim. Now you're going to ask the question, why didn't great rabbis 700 years ago make a big deal about Shovim? So he says, Shemikama Sibas Amukus Hayatzadikim Shodibrukach. For whatever hidden reasons that Tzadikim didn't want to talk about it in those days, didn't bring out the secret weapon in those days, you know, it's almost like a medication, right? Certain antibiotics, if you give it to kids when they're little so much, they become, the sicknesses become immune to the medications. Right? They can resist it. They've learned to overcome it. So it could be these tzaddikim felt, let's wait till we really, really, really need this. Really at the end. So there'll be no development of resistances. But be that as it may, Mikal Malkam, Kaidu Bias HaMashiach, before Mashiach comes, Ha'inin Shal Yimei HaShovim, Mispasha, Yosef, 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 Kol Klai, so the Kavs of Shovim expands on and on to all the Jewish people. Okay, now we're going to turn the page. We're going to skip a little bit, because a little bit of his repetition, and there's a lot of repetition. I got nowhere to skip. We now go to the new booklet. It's the old booklet, but mistakenly photocopied the same page twice. So the new booklet has the first page is the same as the last page of the old booklet. So I think so. Yes? So the new booklet has page Yud. Yes, did I do that or not? Okay, so I'm skipping a little bit. I'm skipping from the beginning. The third section, I skipped the bottom of Tes and the beginning part of Yud, and by the arrow of Echad Me'afanim. Okay, so now we're going to get into this topic is going to discuss what way can we bring ourselves to tshuva out of love? What do we have to do? And this is the first step. Okay, we're on the lower right hand side on page Yud. Echad me'afanim l'chazik es hargosh esava. One of the ways to strengthen our feelings of love. Hu al yidei ha'inyan shel, is a Yiddish word now, nontkait. In Yiddish it means closeness, nontkait, this feeling of closeness. The way you can feel this love is this feeling of closeness, which means lachzor ulashanein ad kama avinu shebashamayim reitz elias karv lanu. We have to repeat and repeat and repeat. What? How much Hashem wants to be close to us? And how much we should become close to him. We got to keep repeating these concepts over and over and over. Truth is, it's throughout the davening, but we fly through it, you know. V'tar libeinu l'ov d'cha be'emes. Purify our hearts to serve you with truth. Right? Before Shema, Ava, Rabba, Avtonu, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, you love us with an abundant love. Chemla, Gedola, Visera, Chamal, Talenu. You have a mercy, an unbelievable mercy you show to us by giving us the Torah. And to look at that Torah, how many of us look at the Torah as mamish, an unbelievable wedding gift that Hashem gave us? You know, Chasan and Kal, they like wedding gifts, right? And certain gifts they like more than other gifts, right? So what was the wedding gift that Hashem gave us? It was Mamish the Torah. The Torah was the Mamish, the wedding gift that showed the love that He had for us. How many of us feel that, believe that, that learning Torah is God's expression of His love to us, giving us instructions for living so we can use our lives in the best way possible, giving us the best advice that we can get all the pleasure of this world, this true pleasure able to get, all comes from the Torah. All these ideas, you gotta keep repeating them. To repeat over and over this love that Hashem has for us. Now here's a problem. Even though there are tests, and there are hard times, spiritually and physically in our lives, everybody in the certain period of time that they're in. So sometimes it's very hard for us to feel this love. Hashem, if you love me so much, why am I unemployed? Why don't I have kids? Why don't I have a shidduch? Why am I sick? If you love me so much, why am I not growing in my learning? But the inner aspect, the core of all the challenges are all filled with love. And the superficial view that we have, hurak levush, it's only a garment, la'ava mesuteres she'esh bazeh, to the hidden love that is clearly there. Va'afilu shelo tamid mevinim eich zeh be'emes ava, even if you really can't see how this is real love, but still, tzrichim ein bakken tif, it's Yiddish expression. If the ein bakken, bakken means to cook. You have to cook it in teeth deep. Gotta really cook it in hard. Like a tough piece of meat. You gotta cook it really hard till it softens up. You gotta cook into it. Right? Sheba emes, that the truth is. I mean, in other words, look deeply into it. Kol akashim hem kol kula avas Hashem aleinu. All the difficulties are only such a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vat kamishim argishim es akirva va'avashim v'inishim v'shayim oivasanu. To the degree that we could see this tremendous love that Hashem has for us, next column. This brings the aspect of King Solomon, which he says, just like a face that looks into the water, it sees a face back. Right? When you look into the water, the face that you see is the face that you see back. So Rabbi Tauber gave that analogy, right? You look into the mirror and you're frowning, you see somebody frowning back at you. But if you're smiling into the mirror, you see somebody smiling at you. So the same thing, you know, people figure Hashem doesn't love me. You know why they figure Hashem doesn't love me? Because you're frowning at Hashem. If you're frowning at Hashem and you don't love Hashem, if you don't love Hashem, then whatever He does appears to you to be a frown that He doesn't love you. It looks like a frown because you've interpreted things in a negative way and only see them in a negative way. But if you're smiling, right, as the song says, you know, if you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, right? The whole world, Hashem is the whole world. He smiles at you. It's just like water. You will see in the difficulties, you will see the love that a Kaddish Baruch has. You know, you figure Mayor Shidduch, you know, he's going out for a number of years. You know, it was impossible. Now everybody knows that Lior is his mamish b'sheret. Your mamish is like not a shiloh. It's not a shiloh. Imagine 3 years ago, he was getting upset. He couldn't get Shidduchim. Of course he couldn't get. She was too young to go out yet. Hashem, and he says, "Hey, why don't you find a Shidduch for me ready?" Hashem, I could, but it won't be the right one. I can give you the wrong one if you want. So the best time for you to marry her is when you're at a little bit of an older age, and that's when the time is. And the mail in that interim, you became an accountant. Now you have a parnasa and all these things. It all worked out, right? But at the time, 3 years ago, you don't see it. You don't see it at all. And you could be, why is Shem doing this to me? The answer is she is already. She isn't even out of high school yet. What do you want? She can't get married to her yet. It's not the time. So you gotta realize that, so a smart person, at least in retrospect, can see that Hashem was loving him the whole time. A smarter person knows even when the Shidduchim aren't coming. Knows that Hashem is showing His love. He's keeping me away from problematic things. So that's a very difficult avoida. So how do you do this? You got to keep saying it over and over, just like we learned in Bovavi. The more you say something, the more it becomes integrated into you. And then it will bring it to this level of as you're looking into the water. And if you're loving Hashem, then you're going to feel that Hashem is loving you. And that's the key. The love in this time is so unbelievably strong. It's like a dam ready to bust, right? But you gotta open up the dam. and it can't be open by you just walking around. It's only open by you keep saying how much you know Hashem loves you. You have to keep saying how much, and how much you love Him, because you know how much He loves you. Even on the little amount that you know. And then the floodgates will open up. As we find by great tzaddikim, tell us. And why is this so? What's the logic of this? Why, well, it's not just, you know, magic. It's not really magic. It's a simple thing. Sheba emes, the truth is, haneshama shalanu, our soul, yesh as habachira hagadol biyoser shal avil avinash v'mashmami. Inside our soul rests this aspect of a tremendous love to Hashem. Our soul is eminently capable of tremendous love because our soul understands it is the closest emanation from Hashem in this world. It is the closest. It is the breath of God within ourselves. It has the greatest recognition of Hashem. Remember, love is not this ooh-la-la idea. Remember, we said constantly, love means feeling at one with another being. Right? So who feels more at one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu if not your neshama? Your neshama is from the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is the closest aspect of the human being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that soul knows that unbelievable love for Hashem. We've got to let that awareness that's deep in the neshama come out and filter through into our hearts and into our minds. Kamo shechazal HaKadoshim borim b'divrem, as our rabbis of blessed memory, they're burning with their words. V'ayrim aloshna neira, they say with an awesome expression, derachim le'yoser megarmei, that the neshama loves Hashem more than itself, than himself. Kol neshama hi chelak elokam imal, every neshama is literally a part of God on high. Kol neshama yesh lo avil avin neshama shamayim b'lishir v'sof, every neshama has a love to Hashem without any limitations. All the problem is it's hidden up and covered. It's the only problem. Our soul is filled with yearnings and longings and aspects of nullifying itself and giving over oneself to Hashem. But the body is covering it up. To the degree that a Jew can repeat over and over and over the love that our Father in Heaven has for us. To the degree that you do that, just by saying it over and over. Again, this is not, you know, such incredible new ideas. This is the basics, but we don't do the basics. But if we do it, poretzes v'yotzes l'chus avah, the love would just jump out. The love that the soul has for our Father in Heaven. Okay, can go on to the next paragraph. Now, here's a beautiful, beautiful analogy he brings now. Everything in this world is not real. This world is so unreal. So what is it worth? It's a beautiful mushal. This whole world is an allegory to higher realities. That's all it is. Everything in this world, we only should use it as a mushal. It's just an allegory to what is the real thing in this world. Ubefrat, and especially this avas ha'av lebanav, the love that a parent has for a child. Let's think about the love that a parent has for a child. You have to be zoicha to have parents that love you. Not everybody is zoicha for that. It becomes a little harder. But at least there's somebody who loves you. But the classic example of the love of a parent for a child. So what did the tzaddikim tell us? Just like with a father, same thing with a mother, but a parent with a child, there's a certain aspect, and here's the aspect. Sheben Godel, when a child grows up, and sometimes it's even, you have to get much older nowadays, Shukvar Chacham, he's already a Shtikl Chacham, right? Much older. Umevinhu, and he understands things better. Makir Umarich es Avivimo, he recognizes and finally values his father and mother. You know the famous line. You know, I don't remember exactly. It goes, you know, when I was 20, I thought my father was so foolish. When I got 30, he was my father got a little smarter. By the time I'm 40, I was 50. He was mamash a genius. It's a good thing my father matured as time passed, right? But the word is that it's the son who's matured, because the son goes through the same things that the parent did. And all the things the parent said that the son couldn't believe made any sense. He sees the same thing plays out with his own children. The same thing exactly, right? How can you appreciate how many times your parents diapered you? You know when? When you start diapering your own kids. And when you start having more than one kid and a few more kids, and then you have to start paying the tuitions, and you have to start realizing, you know, you have to give up things for your children, and you realize that your parents had to have given up so much. The things that you want that you're giving up, why? Because you love them, and you realize that they've had to have done the same thing, if not more. So then you become a little more clever, and you begin to realize how much your parents really love you, right? How much they have given self-sacrifice and continue to self-sacrifice for them. Then they begin to feel that soulful connection that's deep, deep between a parent and a child. But that happens with age. So that's one aspect of love, where you hopefully, as you get older, you love your parents more. But there's another aspect of the little child. The little 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old child. Ain lo shum hasaga ma oisin v'torcha misyagim aviv avimo kol yom v'yom l'gad l'chancho. They have no concept of all the effort the parents do every day to raise and educate this child. They have no idea what's going on. They're such selfish little kids. Ain lo hasaga, they have no idea what the parents are going through. Rak yodea davarecha. So they don't have the intellectual awareness that the 40-year-old child has for the love that the parent has. They don't have the brains to understand. But what do they still have? Rak davarecha, rak yodea davarecha, they only know one thing. Who wrote said Tamid Lios Karv Lovimo. He wants to always be near his parents. He wants to be near mommy and daddy. He margishena Karv Lovimo, and he can sense he's not close to his parents. Next page. Who mefuchad v'koyev v'boich v'tzoyek. He's afraid, he's in pain, he cries and he screams. Right? Ask him, why are you crying? He doesn't know why. What's the matter? Is anybody hitting you? No. Is anything the matter? No. He knows one thing. He has a very strong yearning to always be near his parents. They just want to be near the parents. Right? That's a very important idea that as parents we kind of forget. We think our kids need us to take them to amusement parks and to all these places, and if we spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars, they'll have a good time. What a kid really wants is just to be near his parents. That's all. That's all. And if you're with them and close with them, then they're very happy. You could, you don't even have to always interact with them. A kid, a little 5 or 6 year old can play with Lego for hours. But every half hour they look up, mommy, are you still there? Yeah, I'm in the kitchen. Good. Okay, good. And he feels wonderful. The child feels a certain comfort knowing that their primary caregiver is there within shouting range, right? And that it only is for a short period of time, right? Once they start getting into adolescence, forget it. They don't want to know about it. That's the worst time, you see. When they're little, they want to be with their parents. They don't understand why. When you get older, you understand why. But somewhere between like 10 and 40, right? The kid, you know, lacks a lot of appreciation for the parent and even wanting the parent to be around them. And that's unfortunate, a long period of time. But you do have that little child who wants to just be near the parent. This is all true. And all this is just an analogy. Why does God create us to have these relationships? Why are children like this? Why do children grow up after many years and finally understand how wonderful their parents are? This is all not real. This is all an analogy. It's for us to learn. That's what it's to learn from. Now he says what it is. Hakesher Shiyesh Lavinu Shoshabayim Itanuhu Osanuhu. This connection we have with our Father in Heaven, it's the same one. Or Shibashraim, whatever. Hain Kikesha shall avubno. It's like a connection of a parent to a child. Vain kmokesha shall aimubno, or a mother to her daughter. Kol echad zebuchinuchers. Everyone is a different aspect. Kmoshimuva kampoim vlunish chazal gashim, as the rabbis bring down different expressions. Hashem wants us to know that all this is an allegory. It's all an analogy that Hashem wants us to feel this yearning to be close to Him. David HaMelech, King David. Now you can imagine. He had the highest comprehension of what God was. More than anybody else. He understood the deepest Kabbalah, the deepest mystical understandings of what Hashem was and the closeness that existed between him and Hashem. Regal Ravis Barakava, he's the fourth wheel of the chariot. that chariot that connects God to this world, the mystical chariot, he's the fourth wheel, so that's, he knows what's going on. He's totally bound with and filled with understanding and love of Hashem. Who Omer, and so now when he has to use a word to describe his relationship with God, how powerful is this love that he has for God? What does he use as the expression? He says, "Nafshi kigmol alai imo." My soul is like my soul is connected to Hashem like a little baby suckles from his mother. That's the closest. With all the deep Kabbalistic understandings of the close he could have to Hashem, Mikomakom, that's going to say in Yiddish. Her dropit zich mitzeposhet ava. Meaning in the bracket says the Hebrew. He's, who misrapik im ava pshuta. He's yearning with simple love. He's totally filled with this simple love. Shalava sakmulimo. Like a nursing child has to his mother. What does the nursing child know about the mother? One thing, he wants to eat. That's it. His mom is just, you know, a nursing child in the house. Just, it's unbelievable. That kid just, if he doesn't have the mother's breast, screaming. Just wants to be there. Doesn't go ask them, can you give me an intellectual reason why you want this? He doesn't know anything. He just wants to be close. Yell at Kutin Ma'odmod, a very little child. Shana Mavimo, he doesn't understand anything. Raku Misrapik Aligimo, he's yearning for his mother. Right, so Rakli is car of Lima Lovi Tom, he must only always be close to his parents. Veim Lokhi Mimenu Asadovraze, Veim Lokhi Mimenu Asadovraze, Yesh Bzabachina Shel Sakonis Nefashos. And if you would take this, he knows one thing, if you take the parents away from the child, there is a threat to his life. A little baby that is away from his parents is a big threat. We have certain aspects. You're allowed to transgress the Shabbos for a little child who's crying. For example, if let's say a 2-year-old child is locked inside the bathroom and he's screaming, you don't understand the psychological trauma that is going through that child. You know, he probably won't drop dead from a heart attack, probably, but the damage to his psyche will be incredible. It will can cripple him. Mamish cripple him. He can go into a panic attack. And he can get into convulsion. It can all happen. And because of that, you're allowed to break the door down on Shabbos. If there's no other way, you can call the fire department, break the door down. Because that his life, mamish, it depends on being next to the parents. Right? Ki yelat katan eino yochel lisbol seyrus, a little child cannot tolerate this distancing. It is the most painful thing. It's unbelievable. And you see this, right? First day a parent takes the kid to nursery. Right? You have certain kids that go ballistic. Mamish ballistic. They can't stop crying and they can just work themselves and they can give themselves an asthmatic attack. From what is it? I'm coming back in 2 hours. It's all, and the kid goes crazy and sometimes the parent can't leave. And to every degree, okay, some kids just cry a little bit, but very rare, kid just, okay, bye ma, off he goes. You know, the 2-year-old, okay, you have a couple, but it's very rare. The normal kid, really, it is unbelievable. So let's just do a little bit more, and then we'll take questions. Ha'avazu, this type of love, Davar Melch Bikesh, Davar Melch asked to feel this kind of love. And that fact that it's in Tehillim, and the fact that David prayed for it, because he knew there'd be times where we need this, which David is saying, this is what I want to feel. David is the Melech of Klal Yisrael. He's the king of all the Jewish people. And we know that the Rambam says the king of a Jewish people has a heart as big as the whole people. Has the feelings. The king has the feelings of every single Jew. David HaMelech felt what every Jew would ever feel. And he says every Jew has to have this feeling, and especially in our weak generations, as we find from the Chidush HaRim. She'ikra avoid Yisrael HaMelech. What was the main avod of David? What was David HaMelech's contribution to the world? He conquered territories. He killed Philistines. Whatever. He had romantic affairs. Chas v'shalom. That's what the second building. What was David HaMelech? Right? But his main contribution, Hoya Avodas HaMalchus, was the work of Malchus. That's the 7th, 10th, and last sphera. Malchus. What is Malchus? Malchus is getting taking everything that's there and making sure it hits the source. Make sure you hit the goal. Everything that's there to connect to that final goal. So what's Malchus? Malchus is the end, right? It comes you right to the end. It takes from the top to the end and it becomes the beginning of the new, the end is now the beginning of the new level, right? Of the highest levels of spirituality, the lowest on the highest level on the top is Malchus, which now becomes the connection to Keser, which is the beginning of the next level that follows below, right? It's that point of interconnection between levels. So we come to the end. So that's Lador Shel Sima Koima Shlema, for the generation that finishes the final complete structure. We are the generation of Mashiach. That Mashiach generation is the last level. That's the level of Malchus that will connect us to the next row. In other words, we're at the lowest part of this aspect of this world. That will be the interconnected link to the first and highest level of Keser Malchus of Melech Mashiach, which is the next age of reality. So we're living in the realm of Malchus now. So Lador Shebechinas Malchus, we're in the generation of Malchus. David HaMelech, so what does David HaMelech do? Merlin is at Tfila. He illuminates us these prayers. For example, Shel, Tzama Lecha Nafshi, my soul is thirsting for you. Kama Lecha Basari, my flesh is pining for you. Afilu Shani Nimtza Beres Tzia V'ayif L'mayiv, I'm in a place that's Tzia, that's a drought-filled land and tired without water. Even under the worst circumstances, I'm pining and yearning for you. And that ability to pine and yearn for Hashem is something that our Zaydi David had, and that each and every one of us is capable of displaying. Hakruvim beBeis HaMikdash, the cherubic-like figures in the Beis HaMikdash, Shehem Hoya HaMakom Sheboya Mizgala HaKesher Achibah V'Avah Shel Avinu Shema Hashem Aleinu. That was the place. The cherubic-like figures on top of the Ark in the Holiest of Holies. That's where it was revealed. This awesome connection of love that Hashem asked for us. What was the picture of their faces? Hoy kibnei ravya was like the faces of children. Why children? L'lamdeinu to teach us. Shim kol avodas haneiros v'neflos v'beis hamikdash. That in spite of all the awesome activities that were done in the Beis HaMikdash, the karbanos and the avoda and all the high things and all the kabbalistic understandings that the Kohen Gadol had when he go into the Holiest of Holies. Vim kol asokas v'neflos v'beis hamikdash and all the wondrous ideas of what a Beis HaMikdash is. After everything is said and done, Hashem wants us to feel a love for him like a little child. Like a little child. That can feel this love to his father without any rational reason at all. Who wrote the Leo's car of love if he just wants to be near his father. And this type of love is applicable in every generation. And every single individual is able to arouse and repeat well, constantly. How much Hashem wants us to be close to him. And how much we really, from our neshamas, really want to be close to him. This is what the whole goal of Torah is, as it says many times in Sefer Dvarim, Ledav Kabo, to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch. Kamo Shechazal, HaKadosh Shemarim, as our holy rabbis say, it's from the Zohar, Shekala Taryag Mitzvahs, Him Taryag Itiyim, LeMitzvahs HaDvekas. The 613 mitzvahs are 613 Itiyim. What are Itiyim? Pieces of advice to the mitzvah of Dvekas. In other words, the main Torah is one thing, Dvekas. Connection to Hashem. So what are the mitzvahs? The mitzvahs are supposed to be means of connecting to Hashem. Udvekas, ubidvekas, yesh kama kama dargas. And in cleaving to Hashem is many levels. But there's one level that every can reach. Poshut udvekas, simple dvekas. Kamo shechazal hatoishim kochendach. Like our holy rabbis are cooking in it. Anu ein lano ela or padach. They said, all we have is the light of your illuminated face. What do we say in the last Bracha Shmoneh Esrei? Borcheinu kulanu avinu bior panecha. Bless us all, our Father, with illumination of your face. What did they say before our Sinai? Ritzoineinu liros malkeinu, our desire is to see our King. Anachnu rotzim rak dover echad. We only want one thing. Lios krovim levinu shmaish, to be close to our Father in heaven. Lo mavakshim klum, we don't want anything. Lo trichum, we don't need anything. Rak or panecha, only the illumination of your face. We just want to feel this closeness to you. right? That's a big avoida. It's a big avoida. No, very few of us want that, right? This time of year, everybody, it's just you hear by the commercials, you know, for this time of year, you know, what kind of present you're going to get. You say, do you want to get a present? Do you want to give a present that you get a ooh-wah, Dad? Or, wow, Ma, you love me more than anything, and all these different descriptions. Right, but it only could come through giving it, through spending thousands of dollars on people. It's such a distorted way of understanding what love is all about, right? So just have this simple, what do you really need? What do you need in this world besides Hashem? That's all you need in this world, Hashem, to feel close to Hashem. If we really understood that, so then all the challenges, that they shouldn't make us unhappy. They shouldn't take that love, that feeling away. We don't realize that that's all we really need. And that's what we say. I didn't figure out your question, Paul. I just want to finish up the concept. There'll be time. We say every day, Modim anachnu lach. Right? So let's think about this prayer. Right? The third, the fifth, the 16th, prayer. Modim, 17th, 18th. Let's say Modim sim shalom. Yes, yeah, the 18th. Modim anachnu lach. Okay, now how do you teach the next words? Shato Hashem Elokeinu. How do you translate these words? Modim anach nulach. I don't have an art scroll here. How does art scroll translate it? Oh, I got two art scrolls. One for each eye. We gratefully thank you. Right? Shato Hashem Elokeinu. For it is you who are Hashem our God. Okay? So, what does it mean? So he says, we're trying to turn the page. Anach nulodim lach. We thank you. Shata miyached eshim cholenu, that you unify your name upon us. Sha'at alakenu, that you are our God. Alze gufa nachnu oilach, that's the main thing we thank you for. Alasechia, for the merit, ha'atsuma, the awesome merit. Shata alakenu, that you are our God. That for that alone we're thanking you. So I don't know if that's, we gratefully thank you for it. It is you who are Hashem, our God. In the English, it's hard, it's what it's saying, but it's hard to feel it. But he's saying, the greatest thanks we have is that you are our Hashem. That you are our God and that we are serving you. The fact that we know, that we have you in our relationship and you are our Hashem, that is the greatest thing to thank you for. While Lahavdil, so many others have different gods, not the real God. Or other Jews don't even have this connection. Umikari avodah shel tshuva, and the most important work that's necessary to do tshuva, who are gushas hakir vazu, is the feeling of this closeness. And that's why we say, you notice every prayer that talks about tshuva always has the same idea. Watch. Hashiveinu Hashem elecha. Return us Hashem to you. Hashem says, shuv elai, return to me. Shuv, the prophet says, shuv Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokecha. Jewish will return to tshuva until Hashem your God. V'shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha. Return until Hashem your God. Kol Hashem is a tshuva elecha. Every expression of tshuva always is elecha, to you. Ultimate tshuva is to get back to Hashem. Gedola tshuva shemagas akisa kavod. Tshuva is so great, reaches the throne of glory. Tshuva, the word tshuva, ikra loshen shel tshuva, the main root of the word tshuva. Hu lachzer memakom shenisrachek, to come back from the place where you were at a distance, and you weren't close to Hashem, and to get closer to Him. Ikra or tshuva will describe the main light of tshuva is to be close. Keseder yoser yoser, more and more and more. Ukechol shudi shayach yoser yoser l'gosh za'ava, to the degree that every Jew is closer and closer to his feelings of love, kachu shayach yoser l'avodas tshuva, then he is more connected to the work of tshuva. Umemela hu metar mikol avar, and then as a consequence, you will be able to purify yourself from the past. And you'll receive strength for the future. In other words, it's a natural consequence. If there's a burning love for Hashem, love conquers all. It mamish, everything else, it's not a hard job anymore. If you love somebody, nothing's too hard for somebody. If you love somebody, you do whatever you have to do because you love that person. If you don't love the person, everything's a bother. Your avodas Hashem is a bother. Getting up for davening is a bother. Learning is a bother. Giving tzedakah is a bother. Being nice to your spouse is a bother. Everything's a bother. So how are you going to tshuva on that? If it is, why did you do the avera? Or why didn't you? Because it was a bother. So what's going to happen magically on the aseret shemei tshuva? You're also going to be do tshuva. How are you going to change? You're not going to change. No reason to change. So it only will change if you have a different attitude to Hashem. You have to have that love for Hashem. If there's a real love for Hashem, then all of a sudden, what wouldn't you do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that has to be the motivation to do the mitzvahs, is that love for Hashem. And that's an avoida. That is the real avoida. Once you love Hashem, if you really love Hashem, Hashem says, please, please, you love me, you want to do something for me, please turn off the computer. Please throw out the television. You do me a toiva. It's the worst thing in your house. It hurts me so much you have a TV in your house that you're surfing the internet to places you shouldn't be going. It's killing me. You're looking at things you shouldn't look at. You transgress. It's no end of the tsar that I have seeing that you're doing these things. Right? I mean, everybody has somebody that they'll do something for the other person. You hope. Right? You know? We have relationships that we hope we have somebody that they really ask you that you would do it. Right? So if you have that, then you have to multiply that a million times over Hashem. And why do you have that? Why do you do what lets you love your spouse? If your spouse says, if you really love me, you're going to stop this, dear. Let's say you're smoking. And your wife says, I don't want to be your widow. And if you don't stop smoking, then you really don't love me. You know, and sometimes you can draw a line in the sand and say, if you don't stop, then I really know you don't really love me. Because if you really love me, you'd do anything. And I ask you to stop smoking. That's a way to do it. That's a way to do it. Now, it could be the person really doesn't love his wife that much and doesn't care that she should be a widow. Could be. But if you have it. So now figure it. So why do you love your wife? Well, she does some nice things for me. She cooks for me. We share experiences. I feel connected to her. No, Hashem is a million times more than your wife. A million times more than your wife. But you have to feel that. Has Hashem done any? Who got you your wife? Who got you your wife? Right? So obviously, the person who got you your wife, it loves you more than your wife, for sure. For sure, it loves you more than your wife. And you should love them more than your wife. Your wife shouldn't be jealous of that, because your wife loves Hashem more than you too. So it shouldn't be jealous. Right? But that's how it should be. So if that's what Hashem is, then of course, what wouldn't you do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No matter how hard it is, what wouldn't you do? Umishum shemi yisod, last paragraph. Umishum shemi yisod asat tshuva hu kirvas Hashem. And since from the fundamentals of tshuva, is this closeness to Hashem, and mele therefore, v'mei ha-shoivim, in the days of shoivim, yeshefa otzum, there's an awesome flow, v'chizuk v'siyum alal, such a strengthening and assistance from above. L'roim em ha-savod azu, to elevate this service, shall I gush that give this feeling of closeness. Kol shana every year, avinu shvashmayim, paseach lanu sharim chadoshim, v'fanim chadoshim, l'iskos l'aseh. Hashem every year gives us new ways to get close to Him, to feel, to merit this closeness. Every year in a specific arranged way, Hashem teaches us the way of tshuva. Okay, as the pasuk says, Alkein yorach atayim dar bederach Hashem, therefore Hashem teaches the sinners the way. Derech tshuva harezu, we say this in slichas, the way of tshuva you've taught us. Kol shana muchan l'chol echad shefa chodesh b'shemayim. Every year is a brand new flow of the way to teach us to be close to Hashem. Ech liskarv l'shem isbarach. V'yoser, how to get closer to Hashem. V'mei Shovim nishpe shefa chodesh lo iskarvus v'nont kait. During the weeks of Shovim, Hashem sends us a brand new flow of closeness. And this, again, has to do it. And the Baal HaTanya talks a lot about this. Maybe the next time, maybe on New Year's, we'll pick up this. We'll do another thing on New Year's for this. Maybe we'll go through the little piece of the Baal HaTanya on this. You got to mamish go through the parshas. If you go through the parshas well, you will see how much the love of Hashem for us was just dripping. Let's just give one example. We'll close with this example. We're going to start with the Makkos, the plagues. Right? What was the first plague? The first plague was blood. So what was so unique about that plague? So you know, the Medrash tells us that all the water, every source of water turned to blood, except for what? Whatever Jews owned. The Jew had bought from the store real Canadian water. This was water. He paid his dollar
real Egyptian
for the water. He had it. Right? So the Egyptians are watching and see that the Jews are drinking water. So what would an Egyptian do? They'd grab the bottle out of the Yid's hand and drink it, and it would turn into blood. And they give it back to the Yid, and the Yid takes it, and it's water. So what did the Egyptian do? The Egyptian was clever. They said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Okay, you, Jew, with me at the same time, you put your lips on one edge, I put my lips on the other edge, and we're going to drink it together. They drink it together, that the Egyptian is spitting it out, the Jew is drinking it down beautiful, it's water. Okay, so now what was so unique about this? This is, in the CGN I'm gonna have, in 2 weeks on the Parsha. I only had 500 words to say it, so you're gonna get it better. You're gonna get it better than what I could only say. I know, it's just, but what was, yeah. Anyway, so what's the idea? So the idea is like this, you know, every day the sun rises. Every day the sun rises. Well, maybe not in Canada, but somewhere.
The sun rose,
right? So now, how many of you feel that the sun rose just for you? No. It rose for everybody. I'm just having one of the guys.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, for me, I don't know if the sun rose at all for me. After what I did yesterday, Hashem shouldn't have brought me nothing today. It probably rose for other people. You know, when Hashem did the miracle of splitting the sea, it was an awesome miracle. But how did every Jew feel? Every Jew felt, you know, good thing Moshe Rabbeinu was here. You know, he was there, Nachshon was there, Shevet Yehuda was there. And I guess some Jews were like walking pretty quickly or maybe hiding under a big tzaddik shadow. Because if Hashem knew I was here, you know, as long as that good guy is there, I'm walking ahead of him. I'm not going to be behind him. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You know, so what's the idea? The whole idea is, why did Hashem create only one person in the world, Adam HaRishon? So everybody should say, Bishvili Nivra Olam, that the world was created just for me. Just for me. Hashem created a whole world just for one person. And the truth is, everybody has to feel that way. Adam HaRishon, he sinned, and once he sinned, he couldn't feel that anymore. And that's a challenge till today to feel that. So what was the big, and if you don't really think that Hashem, really don't think Hashem pays a lot of attention to us. You know, it rains because there's tzaddikim in the world. It rains for everybody but me. The sun comes up for everybody but me and not for me. You know, because, and therefore Hashem doesn't notice me. And therefore what I do doesn't really make such a big difference. You know, and that's why you can find people in certain shuls, you know, who will start talking during davening. And you sit them down and say, Rabbi, why are you talking during that? Or they come late. I says, what do you want? You see the other guy there? He came a half hour later than me. He talks more. And Hashem takes care of him. So Hashem will take care of him. It doesn't matter what I do. The checks come automatically. You know, I've got a great business. He gave me a great business. If I talk or not, I'm going to have a good parnasa. We don't believe that what we do, that God cares for what we do. That's such a big yetzer hara. So I'll look on this website for an hour. It's 1 o'clock. Nobody knows. And so I gotta get this out of me. I gotta explore. You know, internet explorer. Explore places where no Jew should be exploring. Right? Or look at things where no Jew should be looking. Or aspects, whatever. You know, it's, does it really make a difference? Does it really make a difference? No lightning bolts come down. Doesn't really make a difference. The sun doesn't shine for me. It shines for everybody else. So what did and without that, if you don't ever feel that way, you never take control of your life. And you don't really have freedom. Right? So what did Hashem do? The very first thing he did. Very first thing he did in Mitzrayim, Hashem said, the sun is shining for you. Why? Because you see, you're drinking this water and the Egyptians drink the water at the very same time. And the very same time, it's blood for him and it's water for you. Don't you see how much Hashem is watching you? Don't you see how much Hashem cares about you? He cares about you so much that you alone in this little room here, Hashem is doing an overt miracle for you. And that's the first, that had to be the first makkah. That had to be the first step for the Jew to realize, you know, yeah, you know, we're all part of the team, but you know, it really doesn't matter. There's other heavyweights who carry the ball. You know, I come to Minyan and I hide in the crowd. You know, good thing the rabbi's there and other people who have long shmonesries are there and they're present and I'm just hanging on and, you know, as long as I come to Minyan, I'm okay. But whatever I do doesn't really matter much because Hashem doesn't, this feeling that we don't feel close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem made that first makkah. You could no way not know that Hashem was focusing totally on you. Why are you giving me so much attention? Because I love you so much and everything you do makes such a big difference to me. A person really felt that. And that's what you're going to read in next week's parsha. It's mom, you read it. You read it. Every generation, you know, goes through this. And we, you know, the fact that you, you know, There's so many ways of looking at it. The water turned to blood. So what is water? What is the water? Water is Torah. Torah is water. Right? Torah is water. Torah is compared to water. Right? So Baruch Hashem, everybody in this room, we listen to Torah and you mamash drink it in. It's water for you. It's mamash. You get chiyus. We have such a class. We learn something beautiful in the Rambam. Now take a secular Jew and you give him some of that water from its blood. He spits it out. He splits it out. Give a class. How many people are not here today? Why aren't people here today? Because they think it's blood. Doesn't taste good. Doesn't have a good taste. Well, you can imagine getting fresh water, sponge, quenching your thirst at 9:30. We should have 100 people here. But what? Nah, that's not. It's blood. It's blood. Yeah, it tastes terrible. It doesn't have a good taste. You're supposed to. It doesn't speak. It doesn't talk to me. It doesn't revive me. Baruch Hashem, why is it that these words of Torah revive you and your brother it doesn't? And your brother it doesn't. It's not a chazdei Hashem. It's not a chesed Hashem. Hashem loves you, that He put in your mind, He guided you to have a life that came in such a way and through many difficulties that came in your life, and only through those difficulties could you now think deeper and appreciate there's more to life, and now you now are ready to drink in the water of Torah. And every day that you learn Torah, you're drinking Torah, and the rest of the world put in their mouth, it's blood. And they have nothing to drink from. They have nothing to give them life, and they're dying. They're spiritually, and you're watching them die in front of your eyes. And then Hashem says, please, don't look at the internet. Please stop looking at other things you shouldn't be looking at. It would do me a big favor if you could do that. So how are you gonna feel? What have you done for me lately, HaKadosh Baruch? Right? What do you do for me? How do I know you love me? How do you know you love me? The fact that you could drink this water. The fact you can drink this water and you know you're on the right path. Okay, you're human, you're gonna make mistakes. But I'm asking you now in this 6 weeks, try really hard not to make these mistakes. Try really hard to feel how much I love you. If you just would learn the parshas really well, really deep, and see how every plague is here today, right? As Rabbi Tauber said in one of his books, he goes through it in great detail, all the 10 plagues. And that the Jew is, the good Jew is spared from that. And Hashem spares you from one plague after another. How much you have to love Hashem? The whole world is meshuggah, right? We know they're all meshuggah. They're wasting so much money today on Boxing Day and on gifts and this and that. I'm not talking for things they really don't need, right? You know, I've told you so many times how crazy the world is, and you know how crazy they are. Right? And Baruch Hashem, you're not crazy. Right? Baruch Hashem, you're not crazy. And the only reason you're not crazy is because of the little Torah I could share with you. Right? And that little Torah that Hashem shared with me. And if it wasn't for Hashem, you would be crazy like everybody else. Be like every other nutball out there. It's 6 o'clock waiting. I drove by Walmart today. There's tons of cars there. Tons of cars going in and out at 7 o'clock. For what? To buy, to what are they buying already over there? You know, to return some socks, some red socks. You know, it's like the mamish, they have no life. And Baruch Hashem, you have a life. Baruch Hashem, you send your kids to good schools. Baruch Hashem, you're seeing nachas from your kids. And where did it all come from? It came from the Torah that Hashem gave you. And Hashem says, so please, you would think about it and just keep saying, you know, I know how much you love me, Hashem. You gave me this. You know how much Hashem says, you love me so much. I'm so special to you. If you would keep saying it in these 6 weeks, then you say, okay, you know what? I'll make this sacrifice for you, Hashem. I will make this sacrifice. And you will see that the strength to live with that, you could do this. So it's a great time to shut down the media. To say, I'm not going to surf the net. Finished. I'm not going to watch the TV. Finished. I'm not going to read the magazine. Finished. I'm not going to read the newspaper. Finished. Why? Because Hashem says, please, you know how much I love you. Just do me a favor. Do me a favor. And if you do this, you'll see how strong you're going to be. And how you'll see after a couple of weeks, it's going to be nothing. It'll be nothing. You will have destroyed one of the biggest dinosaurs that people can't get past that dinosaur. So Hashem should give us the koyach to just repeat this over and focus on the daven and keep saying, as you're going to work, I was saying how much Hashem, go through and visualize examples of how much Hashem loves you and how much you love Him, and you will have that strength to do that tshuva in these very difficult and young. Okay. We'll give you a 5-minute break.
Question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If anybody wants to break the can, everybody wants to. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The analogy that we gave with respect to children and their relationship with parents is so instinctive, the love.
Right.
Why does Hashem make it so difficult for us? He doesn't give us the instinct to love him automatically.
Why, if our love for our parents is so instinctive, why doesn't Hashem make our love for him as instinctive? The answer is, it is. Shlomo Melech says, Hashem created man yashor. Hashem created man straight. Vehema bikshu cheshbonos rabim. But they thought of many calculations. Hashem made it. A pure child will love Hashem. He just needs good parenting. And many of us have failed in that. Many of our parents failed. No, we're not blaming people. It's not easy. But if you would just simply, if you would tell your little child at 2 years old, oh, isn't Hashem so nice to us? Hashem gave us, if you would keep talking about Hashem and show to the child every aspect of how Hashem was nice to you, the kid would grow up instinctively loving Hashem.
Yeah, but they still go through the adolescent period. Yeah, I think that's why we got the adolescent period in nature. Because they do, a person will come to a point where it's not so instinctive anymore. At that point,
Then he has to work on it. He has to work on it. But unfortunately, we are a lot to blame for losing that. And we have to, the more we would appreciate what Hashem does, the more instinctive it would become. The more instinctive it would become. And we lose that. We put our kids in front of TVs instead of other things. And that's why they don't feel that way. Yeah?
I initially getting involved with my Yiddishkeit, I came out of fear of Hashem. I know it's a lower level. But as it's progressed, I've always found that to be much more of a motivator for me at a higher level, where the fear goes into the awe aspect, but also the fear of not wanting to hurt the relationship. And that's always been much more of a motivator for me than the love of Hashem.
So, okay, you're saying that the awe is a bigger motivator. So you're going to see, Samir is going to later talk about fear. So let's defer that question. He has a whole section where he talks about fear, and that may be the very section we're going to do on New Year's. So he's going to discuss what fear really is, and there are limitations to fear. The truth is there are certain limitations to fear. Fear will only get you to a certain place where love can take you further. Love can take you further than fear. So we'll see. He's going to talk about it. That's probably, I'm going to skip a lot. A lot of this begins to get repetitive. So I'm going to skip certain parts, and we will definitely talk about fear, perhaps even on New Year's. We'll talk about that.
Fear of not wanting to hurt the relationship.
It really comes out of love. Yeah. Really, it's love, it's fear, love, awe.
Because the relationship.
Those three steps. So you don't want to hurt the relationship, but it still is rooted in love. It is love. If he didn't love, he wouldn't care to hurt the relationship.